You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We've got a ton of stuff to get to. Breaking news in the National Basketball Association. We told you it was the craziest offseason ever, and it's living up to the hype. Chris Paul, now a member of the Houston Rockets, will break that down. We'll talk Major League Baseball with Rex Hudler, 14-year big league vet, currently the television analyst for the Kansas City Royals. I bet how many people are aware that the Kansas City Royals are the best team in the American League in the month of June? Very interesting. They were left for dead, but they're not. Kansas City Royals just 2.5 games back right now of first place. But truth be told, everybody's like 2.5, 3.5 back of first place in the American League, except in the West, of course. So we'll talk baseball with Rex Hudler. We're talking football. We continue our college football previews with one of the best in the business. And I believe today is the day that the Playbook magazine hits newsstands. Available near you, man. Whatever town, whatever city, whatever state, whatever province you're in, you will be able to find the Playbook. And if you can't, just log on to playbook.com and get the digital version, or you can get it delivered to you. But it's on newsstands everywhere. Mark Lawrence, best in the business. You know, we do this in alphabetical order, man. Very similar to our NFL team-by-team previews. Sometimes you get sexier teams than others, man. And sometimes you get cooler conferences than others to break down. And I didn't even realize it. I'm like, wow, we're already out of the A's. We're into the B's. So where do we start with the B's? The Big Ten, baby. The Big Ten. And I tell you what, there's some good football teams in the Big Ten this year, specifically a football team that I despise. Yet, you know, people wonder, you know, ooh, you know, Mercy, every time you get the Bills or Michigan, you're jaded. I'm telling you right now, Ohio State are the best team in the conference. You know, only an idiot would tell you otherwise. So we'll talk some college football with Mark Lawrence on the program. We'll get a baseball pick from Mark. We'll talk some NFL football. We continue our team-by-team previews. And we arrive on the Tennessee Titans on today's program. As I said yesterday, man, the AFC South is very tricky. It used to be a pile of steaming crap, all right? It used to be like a Drake CD. Just sucked hard. I guess everyone loves Drake, right? So people are, you suck, Marucci, more than Drake does. I don't, all right? He's richer than me, but I'm cooler than him. he's a lot richer than me. Screw Drake. What was I talking about? I'm all distracted by a pile of steaming crap. No. Oh, yeah, the AFC South. AFC South generally sucks, but it's actually getting good. All these draft picks and all this other stuff, it's actually getting pretty good. It's very, very competitive, and there's not a lot to give between these teams. I actually have the Titans and the Colts kind of the same, but nevertheless, we'll talk Tennessee Titan football on the program. But as I stated, the craziest offseason in NBA history keeps on getting freaking crazier, man. It's insane. It really is insane. On a daily basis, we're getting these blockbuster deals. So the Houston Rockets now have Chris Paul. And I'm sure the Golden State Warriors are losing sleep tonight about this, because, you know, Chris Paul and James Harden have just been playoff monsters. You're taking, like, two of the biggest playoff chokers and stiff jobs. Why don't you guys bring T-Mac back, too? That'll put you over the top. Whatever. It's musical chairs. Houston Rockets will win a bunch of games in the regular season and it'll get bounced. It is what it is. But all things considering, and you consider that Chris Paul was going to be a free agent and they were going to lose him for nothing potentially. I think the Clippers actually did pretty damn good out of this thing. Patrick Beverley's he's a baller, man. The guy can score. He's an elite defender. He's a competitive player that nobody likes playing against. That's a nice addition right there. Listen, sweet Lou Williams, not only is he so cool, he's got two girlfriends. This badass can hit a three from anywhere on the floor. You know, he's Lou Williams. He is what he is. Decker's kind of a throw-in. The first-round draft pick, kind of a throw-in because the Rockets are going to be good. But when you add it all up, who did better? Who got more? Did the Chicago Bulls get more for Jimmy Butler? Or did the Clippers just get more for Chris Paul? Yeah, you know, the Clippers are doing all right. Now they have a lot of money that they can spend as well. A lot of question marks, though. A lot of question marks. Now, I told you guys earlier in the week, Generally, NBA reports are just reports and gossip. All right, it's just gossip. Chuck Swirsky brought this up on the program last week. Everybody was talking about Jimmy Butler, right? We were talking about, oh, Jimmy Butler rejected a deal to the Cavs. Jimmy Butler wants to go to the, he wants out of Chicago. He wants to go to Boston. Did anyone report that Jimmy Butler was going to get traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves? No. How many people reported that D'Angelo Russell? We all knew Russell was probably going to get moved. Then was he going to get moved to the Nets? It's all gossip, man. It's all clickbait. And the latest clickbait is actually Toronto Raptor general manager Masai Ujiri. Did you hear? He already sold his condo in Toronto. He's already left. He screwed the Raptors a couple of days before free agency begins. He's gone. Took the job with the Knicks. That's what the experts state. Oh, it's a fact. It's a done deal. So let me guess. They just fired Phil Jackson this morning, yet they've already negotiated with Masai Ujiri. And Masai Ujiri just signed a 5-year contract extension with the Toronto Raptors like a matter of months ago. And now he's going to bolt, and James Dolan is going to pay out and buy out Phil Jackson, and then he's going to pay out and buy out the Toronto Raptors and give the Raptors draft picks to get Masai Ujiri, because Masai's the freaking king, right? He's got so much bling on his fingers, he's won so much. I don't know, really? So, you know, Masai Ujiri, they're reporting he's going to the Knicks. I guess Masai Ujiri, I don't know, I guess he's going to be the new GM of the Sacramento Kings or something. Like, because it seems like the reports are always sort of right. Yeah, guy's leaving, but nobody knows where. Nobody knows. None of us know, all right? The only thing we know about the NBA and its free agency is we have no freaking clue. We know it's exciting, but I'll tell you one damn thing that I do know, and this is a lock, all right? I know that I'm done buying NBA player jerseys, man, all right? You know, it's like college from now on, man. You rep the front of the jersey, not the back of the jersey, because you got to be an idiot. You know, I remember I was at the All-Star game last year. I was like, I want to get a DeMar DeRozan jersey. I'm like, man, but he's a free agent. Oh, I'll get Kyle Lowry. Well, he's a free agent, too. So I have a Kyle Lowry Eastern Conference All-Star jersey that's either going to be useless or not in about 3 days' time. I'm just hoping he stays in the East. When's football start anyways? Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. I am Gabriel Morenci. We've got a great show lined up for you. Mark Lawrence is going to join us. We'll talk some baseball. We'll focus in on the Big Ten. And we'll get Mark's quick take on the big blockbuster NBA trade that just went down. Rex Hudler will join us, a television analyst of the Kansas City Royals, a 14-year big league vet, Rex Hudler, in the house. And you know, I don't know if you guys know this about Rex, and I'm going to talk to him about this. I'm going to ask him about this, but Rex Hudler actually had a scholarship. He could have played football at a pretty good school, too, Notre Dame. But he decided, you know what, I'll play baseball instead. Probably the correct decision. It's funny because I've been talking a lot about this as of late. And we all love football. Everybody loves football. But if you've got a choice between being a Major League Baseball player and an NFL player, you're an idiot if you go play football instead. You really are. Unless you're Drew Henson and you can't play baseball, then you were an idiot for thinking you could have played baseball when you would have been the number one pick in the draft. But I assume very few people are aware even who Drew Henson is. But I know my main man, Mark Lawrence, knows who Drew Henson is. What's going on, Mark?
Doing pretty good, Gabe. How you doing? Yeah, Drew Henson, quarterback, tried to make it in the NFL. Illinois, I believe, at college football.
It was Michigan.
Michigan, yes.
Yeah,
right.
If you remember, they pushed Tom Brady out for him. Almost like, yeah, all right, Brady, good to see you. Thanks for Henson came in. Drew Henson would have been the number one pick in the NFL draft, I guess, circa 1990, 91 era, 90, whatever. In that area, he would have been the consensus. Like, he was the top, he was the stud quarterback of all quarterbacks. Would have been the number one pick of the draft. But then George Steinbrenner came along with his money. And he said, listen, kid, I'll give you the money right now. You'll be a New York Yankee. And at the time, I think it was like $7-8 million or something. Kid couldn't hit a curveball. Struggled in the minors for a couple of years. Then ended up in the NFL, but he lost his football skills.
You know, it's unbelievable. We see some kids right now in this year's Major League Baseball draft that are multi-positional players, and they're wondering whether they can play two positions at one time. You're talking about Henson and players like that that wonder whether sport was better for them. It just goes to show to prove that you're better off focusing on doing what you do best, excel at that, and make the best of your career.
You know, it's interesting, though, Mark. NFL scouts now, if you look at all the players that are drafted, they're all multi-sport guys now. And a lot of scouts say we like the fact that the kid wrestled before, that he did this before, the different disciplines. I know what you mean. You got to pick your lane eventually at some point. But I think growing up, if you're a kid, if you're 12 years old and you're like, I want to play football only, don't stop yourself from playing soccer, from baseball. It's like playing piano, Mark. No kid wants to take piano lessons when he's a kid, but you wish you did when you can pick up all the chicks and you're a stud musician when you're an adult, right? You know, it's like all these skills help. They really do, but nevertheless, that's a topic for another story. Quickly on the Chris Paul. Keep talking about Paul George, Chris Paul, Paul George. Chris Paul to the Rockets. The internet's freaking out about this, and I don't know. I don't know what the hell Houston's doing, and I don't know what the hell Chris Paul is doing.
It scratched my head here too, Gabe. I don't know how he's going to fit on that basketball team. It doesn't look to be the right move for him. It looks like obviously maybe San Antonio would have been a better move, but we don't know what the numbers were all involved. All I know is that Chris Paul is going to be hauling down a boatload of cash here, $40 million a year to start, up to 50 in his last year of the contract. That's the reason I don't go to NBA games anymore.
I said off the top of the program, I'm done buying NBA player jerseys, that's for sure. Yeah, you're renting the jersey, you know, you're renting.
It's like, yeah, can you lease them?
You're only renting.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
All right, so let's jump in and talk some Big Ten football right now. My conference, being a Michigan Wolverine fan and watching Big Ten football for the last 35 years. So Big Ten is becoming an NFL factory. Michigan had 11 players drafted in this year's draft. Ohio State had 7 players drafted in this year's draft. In all, the Big Ten had 35 players taken in this year's National Football League draft. But something that's interesting, still no quarterback taken in the first round, Mark, since 1995, and our boy Kerry Collins out of Penn State.
Yeah, that's a good stat. Kerry Collins, the last quarterback drafted out of the Big Ten Conference, if you will, in the first round. It kind of almost goes hand-in-hand with the SEC, if you will. Go back to the days of Joe Willie Namath at Alabama, if you will, Kenny Stabler, Alabama. Those quarterbacks don't make it. The SEC quarterbacks do in the NFL, and a lot of Big Ten quarterbacks are missing as well.
Yeah, there's a strange phenomenon about that, but that's a show for another day as well, in which you're right. A USC Trojan quarterback. USC quarterbacks, Mark, Heisman trophies, pedigree, studs, first round, first overall guys. Long list of USC Trojan quarterbacks. USC Trojan quarterbacks never won a Super Bowl before.
No, unbelievable. I mean,
and look at Alabama, dominant, like you said, man. Since the Snake and Namath in another freaking era, who do they have? Brody Croyle. I guess AJ McCarron.
And who's McCarron? He's a backup quarterback in the National Football League. So, you know, the league doesn't make the quarterback. The player makes the quarterback.
But conversely, and this is what I said all the time, people focus on the first round draft picks all the time, Mark. The success of a National Football League team isn't the first round. It's hard to screw up the first round, man. There's like 100 good players. You're top 32. It's hard to mess that up. The successful teams are where you succeed in the third, the fourth, and fifth round, etc. And look at the Big Ten. All right, so the Big Ten hasn't had a quarterback taken in the first round, Mark. Well, Tom Brady's from the Big Ten. He's a pretty good quarterback. Drew Brees is from the Big Ten. He's a pretty good quarterback. Kirk Cousins from the Big Ten. He's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL right now. That's just off the top of my head. Who else is there from the Big Ten in the NFL making money? You know, like there's a lot of elite Big Ten quarterbacks, man.
There are a lot of elite quarterbacks in the National Football League out of the Big Ten, but not just out of the first round. And like you say, it's what you do in the later rounds that count. Look at Dak Prescott from the Dallas Cowboys last year. He slipped, and all he did was led the Dallas Cowboys nearly to the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, and the Dallas Cowboys didn't even want to take him. They wanted to take Connor Cook from the Big Ten.
Yes, they did.
But the Raiders took him one pick before, and they're like, someone in the room said, I like this Prescott kid. And they were like, all right, whatever, all right. Like, it wasn't like they were in love with him. They didn't mean to draft him, and then they didn't mean to start him because Romo got hurt. It's amazing. Hey, Jerry, rich people. Hey, they just keep getting richer, Mark.
Just falls into their lap. Unbelievable.
All right, speaking of which and rich getting richer, son of a bitch is up there in Columbus. Ohio State, 7-1 to win it all, plus 150 to make the playoffs, or plus 120 to win the Big Ten. Season win total is 10.5, minus 160 to the over. This team is stacked like Pamela Anderson was in the Baywatch days. 15 returning starters. Started 29 freshmen last year, and they're going to be in a foul mood, man. Meyer's going to push these kids hard after getting embarrassed 31-0 in the playoffs.
Yeah, there's a lot to like about the Ohio State Buckeyes this year, Gabe. You mentioned all the freshmen they played last year. Only or less than 6% of all starts last year were made by seniors. So they got a very young, experienced football team here this year. And as you mentioned, Urban Meyer off that loss, a shutout loss, the first time ever in his career getting blanked. He'll have their full attention this football season here. They look indeed to be the team to beat in the Big Ten this year.
And we see they have a dream team coaching staff now, don't they? So they bring in Kevin Wilson, former head coach over at Indiana. We know he's an explosive offensive mind. Craig Schiano's running the defense. It's like an arms nuclear race, eh, between them and Michigan. Yeah, you see Michigan, like Pep Hamilton, former head coach. It's like Pep Hamilton's like a QB coach there at Michigan now. Like, they're just spending they're spending more money on their staffs at these schools than NFL teams do.
I kind of wish Donald Trump would put together a staff like Urban Meyer puts together here, something, a semblance of order. you can see where the Buckeyes are going. They've got a clear path to victory. I don't know about the man up in Washington right now as we speak.
that's another story, too, as well. All right, JT Barrett. JT Barrett is back. Seems like this kid's been there forever, man. JT Barrett, I imagine, you know, he's going to be extremely dangerous this year. I wonder if he's going to learn to throw the football a little bit more. I wonder if he can at this point, or he is just who he is. But it doesn't really matter. You got Weber back in the backfield. They're going to be able to move the football. They're freaking stacked. And their schedule's manageable, man. They get the Sooners at home. They get Penn State at home. They don't play Wisconsin. Yeah, they're at Michigan to finish up the season. The win total is 10.5. Hey, I don't like betting the over when it's this high, Mark, but and it pains me to say this as a Michigan fan, but this team goes 12-0.
At least 11 wins for this football team this year. That's going to be a big game against Oklahoma this football season here, and the Michigan
game as
well.
They're going to kill the Sooners, dude. They'll kill them.
Well, I hope they do.
They smoked them in Norman last year. Now you got a 33-year-old kid coaching the Sooners. They're toast.
It's still Oklahoma, Gabe, and it's still Michigan they've got to get past.
I'm laying 8.5, Mark. I think it's 8.5. I'm laying the points.
There you go. What I like about the Buckeye schedule this year, no back-to-back road games. Half of their opponents had losing records last year. This is a cake schedule for Ohio State this football season here. If they don't make the college football playoffs this year, there should be an investigation.
All right, they will. They will. Unless my Michigan Wolverines can surprise them. And this proves to you guys watching, I'm not a homer, but we've already only got like 4 or 5 minutes, so I'll pick up the pace. Michigan, 14-1 to win it all. They're plus 550 to make the playoffs. They're plus 275 to win the Big Ten. Their win total is 8.5, which is interesting. It's 8.5, considering they're actually the second choice by the odds makers to win this conference. But just like Ohio State started a ton of kids last year, it's the opposite with Michigan. We reference it. You lose 11 players in the NFL draft, you're going to be in a lot of trouble the following year. 76% of the starts made by Michigan last year were by seniors. They lose 138 receptions, 1,900 yards, and 13 touchdowns on the offensive side of the football. And dear God, Mark, they only have one returning starter on defense. I saw that. I never seen that, Mark. I see one. You know, one returning starter, zero seniors in your playbook. I'm like, oh, man.
But what matters the most?
Harbaugh's got a good recruiting class coming in.
It's exactly what matters the most, Gabe, is his recruits as well as anybody in the country. They look a lot like Ohio State last year. Remember, the Buckeyes only had three starters back on each side of the ball last year, and all they did was make it to the playoffs. His recruiting class is what's going to end up fortifying this football team this year. They got off to that 9-0 start last year. They finished 1-3. Great stat here about Harbaugh. The team that wins the stats in his football games is 24-2 since he's been a head coach at Michigan. Win the stats, win the football game in a Wolverine contest.
One thing they do have, they're offensive. It's Harbaugh, man. And Harbaugh, I trust. You're talking about Trump, Harbaugh for president, all right? Harbaugh gets it done, except he seems to choke when he gets inside the 5-yard line. But that's another story. Chris Evans, back at running back. There's a couple of guys, experienced guys back on the line. The quarterback is back. Spate's a good quarterback, and he's got some weapons. I'm really looking forward. Hey, we keep recruiting these kids. It's Donovan Peoples-Jones time right now, man. It's Eddie McDoom time. What a cool name. Eddie McDoom time. There's some playmakers. Listen, Michigan, I don't think they're going to the playoffs this year. But with that being stated, I think 8.5 is a little low. I think we can get to 9 wins.
I think 9 wins is in the offing again for Michigan because of what Harbaugh does recruiting-wise. A lot of talent. Those are 4- and 5-star athletes that are wearing those uniforms right now. I see 9 wins at least for Michigan.
Schedule, they open up versus the Gators in Jerry's World or at Penn State or at the Badgers, host OSU. That's why it's tough, and I say 9 wins. All right, Mark, Penn State, 25-1 to win it all, +500 to make the playoffs, +450 to make the Big Ten. Win total is 9.5, but it's +110 to the over. Seems to me that the Nittany Lions aren't getting a lot of respect considering they're the defending conference champions.
They didn't get any from me, Gabe. They're one of two teams that I bet under a win total this year. It was Penn State. I see them regressing this football season here. The big win they had last year came as an avalanche, a snowball rolling downhill for the football team to end the season here. They went backwards 43 yards a game in defense last year, yet still won the Big Ten championship. I think they have to pay and make amends this year. Big-time revenge against Penn State this season.
Yeah, they got McSorley and Barkley back on the offense. Defense gets free safety Marcus Allen back, but there's a lot of holes on the defense that they lost. You know, they got a great field goal kicker, but I wonder, man, we wonder about that pressure and how they're going to handle it. They're going to have a target on their back as well. You know, I think they land right around 9 as well, Mark. All right, we got about a minute or so. Wisconsin getting no respect. 50-1 to win it all, +650 to make the playoffs. Their win total is 9.5, -160, 15 returning starters, coincides with their 15 consecutive bowl appearances. They don't play Ohio State. They only play 6 teams with a winning freaking record. They're at BYU. They're at Nebraska. They get Michigan in Madison. This is a 10 or 11 win football team.
It's a cupcake schedule designed for Wisconsin here. All they do is win football games. All they do is win 10 games every year. I don't see anything different this football season.
I like the over here as well a lot. All right, Mark, let's say in about a minute here. Any sleepers? I see Northwestern, Fitzgerald. He's got 17 returning starters back. Purdue's got Jeff Braum, but there's going to be some work to do. We'll be taking a look at the overs in their games. The Spartans seem to be spiraling downwards right now. Quick take on the rest.
Northwestern, I think, is the sleeper in the conference here, Gabe. You take a look at this team here. No back-to-back road games. They've only got 5 opponents that have winning records from last football season here. Fitzgerald's the real deal as a head coach. Northwestern, a big surprise this year. Purdue, they went up in stats offensively and defensively. Jeff Brom's going to be a good hire for that team. They will improve. Michigan State smells like Baylor to me this year. I think with that sex scandal going on there, could be Mark D'Antonio's last year for the Spartans in East Lansing.
Yeah, that's a shame. What a shame. That's what we say from Ann Arbor. Bye-bye, D'Antonio. Thanks, Mark. Always a pleasure.
And my pleasure, Gabe. Enjoy the games. Be good.
There's Mark Lawrence with us. All right, Rex Hudler joins us next. We talk some baseball. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Yeah, you can't beat today, man. We just talked Big Ten football. We're going to talk some Tennessee Titan football in the next segment. Right now, we talk some Major League Baseball, one of the most passionate guys ever to play the game. 14-year big league vet, currently an analyst for the Kansas City Royals, television analyst. And we can't forget a Japanese league champion with the Colt Swallows. And you guys know me in my late night degenerate ways. Nobody loves the Japanese league like I do. Let's welcome Rex Hudler to the program. What's going on, Rex? Welcome to the Fantasy Sports Network. How you doing, man?
Gabe, I'm thrilled to be with you, man. Are you kidding me? As somebody as knowledgeable of the game and also Japanese baseball, shoot, I loved it. I wanted to finish my career there, Gabe.
I got to be honest with you. I'm like Pete Rose. I bet on baseball, Rex. I love to bet on the Japanese league. It's on at like 4 a.m. I love it.
You're like me. We should be checked. We need to be checked, man.
Yeah, I don't sleep, man. That's a thing. I'm passionate. Sports, man. So let me ask you, man. You played for 6 teams. We had Jeff Reardon on last week. And, you know, Reardon, he won a World Series in Minnesota, but he was part of those iconic early 80s Expos teams. You know, he's a big fan favorite in the Boston area. And I said, I guess if you're a big league vet, you're sort of known as a member of a different team in different cities. And, you know, it's funny because to me, I think of Rex Hudler. I think of you as an Expo. And I think of the Expos, essentially. I think of Expos and Angels. That's what I think of.
Hey, Gabe, look, there's a lot of people out there that think a lot less flattering things than that. So, look, that's pretty good. But, look, I had so much fun, Gabe. What a blessing it was, man, to be able to change teams. I didn't realize, you know, a lot of guys want to spend their entire career with one team. But I look back and go, why would you?
Yeah.
I got to meet so many different people in the different stops that I made. I got to play with 8 Hall of Famers, 3 Hall of Fame managers. It was so much fun moving, and absolutely loved it. Wouldn't change it, thing.
So let me ask you about a ball game that was a little while ago. I gotta shake the cage here, Rex, because you played a lot of games. But 1989. The Expos and Dodgers played a 22-inning game at Olympic Stadium in Montreal. It was the longest game in Montreal Expo history. And we were just talking about this game a couple of weeks ago because it was the first and only game ever that a mascot in a big league game got ejected from the game. And Tommy Lasorda, being the grumpy old dude that he is, and God bless him, but being the grump that he was, got pissed off that UP was making too much noise on top of the dugout, and UP was wearing the pajamas, and UP got kicked out. The game went 22 innings, and what I didn't even realize was crazy about this game, you were the last out of the game, Rex, and you never got caught stealing in those days. You got caught stealing second, so I got to ask you, the game was like nearly 7 hours in. Were you dead tired when you stole that base? Do you remember that play?
Gabe, I forgot all about it. As a matter of fact, somebody asked me a while ago, what's the longest game I ever played in? And, you know, I haven't played 10 years of minor league baseball. You know, we played in some extra innings then and all them years in the minors, then 10 in the majors. That's a lot of games. And I told somebody over 20, but now that you've done the research for me, I remember. And I remember how shocked I was getting thrown out. I was trying to get in scoring position. I think I stole 29 bases that year, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I stole some bags. But Yuppie getting thrown out was unbelievable. Tommy, we were like, you know, cranky Tommy. And you know, Yuppie, those dugouts were metal. And so, you know, you could actually hear somebody on top of the dugout. But Tommy, you know, he was so upset because we kept interrupting his sleep.
It was late for Tommy. It was late. And you're right.
It was. But, man, I remember that. I remember being in shock when the umpire called me out, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm going to be in trouble. But, yeah, what a memory. Interesting how you can remember that. Dave,
I got to tell you, and what I also remember is Buck Rogers liked to have a couple of drinks. I bet you Buck was happy you were out. He just wanted to get over to Crescent Street and have a drink.
Buck, I love Buck. And then Buck got me 3 years with the Angels when he went out there and managed them after his Montreal days. So, man, I love Buck Rogers, but I tell you, just the players I got to play with there, Tim Raines, the Hall of Famer now. He was a real blessing. Also, Tim Wallach, he was special. Tim Burke, Pascual Perez, just being around that guy. I mean, there was a lot of characters on that team. And too bad, as we made that trade with Mark Langston and traded Randy Johnson away to Seattle, we were going for the kill, man. And it just didn't work out. What a shame, but we had some talent.
It's amazing. I remember that. I got goosebumps. I remember in Montreal, I was like, man, we got Mark Langston, man. This is for real. This is for real right now. And it's ironic because yesterday was actually the 15th anniversary of the Bartolo Colon deal to Montreal when they traded Cliff Lee, Grady Sizemore, and Brandon Phillips. And I read an interesting article about that, Rex, that the trade is still giving because Cliff Lee's was traded for the rights to a young guy named Carlos Carrasco. Actually, so that deal is still giving. We're big football guys, too, and you were a football star in high school. You had an opportunity to play at Notre Dame. How hard was that not to play under the dome at Touchdown Jesus in that era? And was it did you have family pressure? It's play baseball. You're not going to get killed out there. What was the decision? What guided you towards the diamond as opposed to Touchdown Jesus?
Wow, Gabe, you know what? It was such, I look back on that. What a blessing. I had a chance to choose between two of the greatest sports institutes in the world. Notre Dame had just won a national title in 77 with Joe Montana, and the Yankees had won a World Series in
77. How cool is that?
Yeah, and it's 78 now, and Dan Devine, I went back and toured Notre Dame, Michigan State. A guy named Kirk Gibson showed me around the campus at Michigan State, and then took my five visitations, and I was all set to go and signed a letter of intent with Notre Dame. I told Coach Devine, hey, Coach, I'd love to play. I'd love to catch passes from your star quarterback. Just let me go home and talk to my parents. But I could tell, the highlight reel that they showed us at every university, some were more impressive than others, especially Notre Dame, narrated by the great Lindsey Nelson. It was Goosebump City going there, so it was an easy choice. And I had to take the SAT test three different times to get my score high enough. And Coach Devine would call me after each one and say, hey, kid, we got to get you to take it again. You got to get a little higher. So I was embarrassed, and I told him, hey, sorry, Coach, I'll get it right. And finally, I get it right. And then I played baseball to have fun in my senior year in high school, and I ended up getting drafted by the Yankees in the first round, 18th pick in the country. So now I had 1 week to decide what I'm going to do. And I asked my mom, what did you tell the Yankees? She says, I told them that they wasted their pick. You're going to college, son. Mom, okay. Hey, look, she was into the education. And I was looking for just any opportunity. Well, when Al Rosen, the vice president of New York Yankees, and George Steinbrenner's right hand man, Jack Butterfield, showed up at my door, and they had a blank checkbook. It was a no brainer. My mom negotiated $150,000 for me out of high school, and that was George Steinbrenner's biggest bonus he'd ever given a kid. So that was an automatic choice there. I mean,
awesome.
It was a no-brainer.
I'm getting goosebumps. So, it's like, Mom, you go to college to get a job. Yeah, Mom, I just got a $150,000 check. This is my new job. But I guess she was sold, right?
Yeah, she was. And then, but I had no idea that I wasn't prepared mentally, really, or physically. I didn't know it was going to take me 10 years to get established as a major leaguer.
Yeah.
But, I never gave up. I kept looking back on what I turned down and really – That Notre Dame scholarship that I turned down really motivated me to continue to make it in baseball until finally I refused to go home and I busted in the door and got 10 years in the majors, largely because I married up a wonderful, beautiful woman. She helped me big time.
Well, I'll tell you what, and it takes a lot for George Steinbrenner, who's a pretty grumpy guy at times, to praise you like he did and talk about the amount of heart that you played with. So speaking of which, Kansas City Royals were left for dead. They're going to trade everybody. They coming into the year, everybody giving up on them. They're going to be huge sellers at the deadline. They're done. They're falling apart. Yet, you like to say, we're not calling for the check because we're still eating at the – we're still at the table here, Rex. There ain't no waiter, no check yet. Month of June. I don't know if people realize this. Kansas City Royals are 15-8. They've won 11 of their last 15 baseball games. The last 45 games, they played 6-14 baseball. Only the Dodgers and the D-backs have had more wins in the month of June. They have the best record in the American League this month. And it seems to me from the outside looking in, even with all the pitching issues and injuries, the offense is starting to turn it around a little bit. Rex, what's been the key to the turnaround?
Well, it's been really early on when things weren't looking good. They were the worst offense in baseball. Things were really bad. I think the Royals were not playing as a team, and they were kind of swinging from their heels as individuals, Gabe. And they got tired of hearing they're going to get dismantled, they're going to get traded. And everybody in the world but their own general manager, Dayton Moore, we're already selling them off, and they said, not so fast. What we've done together here, going to back-to-back World Series and winning in the next season after the Giants beat them in Game 7 and 14, shoot, we're not done. These guys are not old. They're not aged players. Some of them aren't even in their prime yet. Moustakas, Hosmer, Salvador Perez, Escobar, Kane, Vargas, all those names they're talking about being free agents, why can't they win here? Why can't they go to the mountaintop again? Believe it, they know the DNA. They're starting to recognize it. Salvador Perez is a beast at the plate. Hosmer's hitting over 300. Moose is up there amongst the league leading homers. They're starting to play their game. They're starting to recognize their winning DNA. And with Danny Duffy on the mend, going to be coming back here in the next couple of weeks, they'll have that their ace left-hander to go with Vargas and Ian Kennedy. And also, Hamill. Jason Hamill's been picking it up.
Yeah.
So really, things aren't looking too bad. They're finding some pieces in the bullpen, Gabe. Herrera's given up 7 home runs as a closer, but he throws 99 and 88. Once he figures that out and hits his spots again, he'll be just fine. But look, it's exciting to go to the baseball park every day to see these guys perform. But one of the things, Gabe, that never goes away for the Royals, and that's their tremendous defense. They're the best team in baseball, fielding percentage-wise. They're amongst the top in runs saved. But, man, it's fun to watch these guys go get them.
And it's interesting. We talk about the trade deadline. And I tell you what, we look at the NBA right now, Rex, and it's freaking crazy. Chris Paul's now a Houston Rocket. Every day there's these blockbuster deals in the NBA. I know the Major League Baseball trade deadline, July 31st. I don't think there's going to be a ton of stuff going on, Rex, because everybody's so close. Everybody's in contention. Like you said, how can Moore face the Kansas City Royal faithful right now when they're 2.5 back? They're right in this. There's no selling. If anything, you're putting the pedal to the metal, and the fan base won't accept it, and they won't be the only ones. It's very exciting this year, Rex, isn't it? You love baseball all the time. I love the game. But I'm not just blowing smoke right now. This season's been incredible, man, with all the power, the young guys, the competitive divisions, the upstart teams, the Brewers, the Twins, the Royals back in it right now, the Astros rolling. And I wanted to ask you, baseball is so illogical, isn't it? How are the Angels better right now without Mike Trout? Like, how did the sky not fall on these guys?
You or I or anybody else can't figure out the game, and no one ever will. So, but they keep trying. The numbers people have entered our game now. Now they think that they can figure it out. Everybody wants an answer as to why in our now society. It just can't happen. When it comes to a round ball making contact with a round bat, or vice versa, however you want to put it, you just don't know where it's going to fall, when it's going to fall, who's going to catch it, who's going to advance. You know, all the intangibles baseball brings is one of the reasons why I get so excited about going to the ballpark every night, a big league ballpark, because we never know what we're going to see. And I guarantee you, I don't care how many years you've been in the game, you're going to see something you've never seen before. And this is what's exciting. No one can explain it. But I can tell you, somebody else has to step up. Whenever you lose a guy, Cameron Maben stepped up. They got a catcher that's done a great job there. Mike Socia has. We just played those guys. They're an attack team. They put the ball in play. This is an exciting team, and their defense is much improved, too. So, look, whoever steps up, that's what happens. Somebody's got to man up whenever you lose an animal like that, an MVP. I mean, that's a hard replace, but they're doing it.
Yeah, they are, and that's what fascinates me about baseball the most, in which you guys almost have to talk yourself into a fake confidence, don't you? Because what worked in your previous at-bat might not work again in the next at-bat, right? There's such a fragile, you could be 8-for-13 and you're feeling good, but you also know in the back of your mind that could turn into an 0-for-13 in a heartbeat, can it?
Oh, Gabe, it's an incredible mind gut wrencher, man. I'm going to tell you, baseball will pull your guts out. It will drag it in the dirt and in the ice in the wintertime and wherever in the summer, wherever it takes you year-round. But I remember how I would wake up in the middle of the night when I struggled, which was most of my 21-year career. And I would sit on the side of the bed, and my wife would come over and rub my back and say, "Come on, it's going to be okay." And I'd say, "I suck. I just don't know how am I going to come out of this?" Because you're paid based on your performance, and when you square up around baseball, and it's heading through the gap. And all of a sudden, this 10-star athlete runs out of nowhere and makes a diving catch on your baseball, took away your extra base hit and the ribbies that were attached to it. That's funny. That's dollar signs. So when it's out of your control, once the ball leaves the bat, look, that's a hang with them. So only the mentally strong can survive the game, Gabe. You have to be strong. And if you're in it long enough, you learn how to handle it. But I guarantee you, you got to have a special case of shampoo to be able to wash all that stuff out of your hair each day. Show up to the ballpark ready to strap it on, man.
Hey, Hud, it was great to catch up with you, brother. Really, really enjoyed the conversation. Good luck tonight. Big game against the Tigers. Kennedy on the hill against Norris. He's been in fine form. I'll be watching. Thanks for taking the time to be with us, Hud.
Gage, you're pumping me, but we fell under 500 again. We got to get back. One more game, we'll be at 500. Then we got to continue to push forward here, and it's going to happen. Believe it.
Hey, God bless. Thanks for the time.
See you, bud.
There's Rex Hudler with us. Great stuff. We're going to talk baseball all day with Rex Hudler. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk some Tennessee Titan football. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does our team-by-team National Football League previews. Let's jump in. We got to be quick with this one. Let's talk about the Tennessee Titans. Yesterday, I told you I think that the Houston Texans are the best team in the AFC South due to the fact that they have talent on both sides of the football. But I also told you that I did a Twitter poll, and I asked you guys on Twitter, who do you think is going to win this division? And nearly 40% of you actually picked the Tennessee Titans. The Titans might be the trendiest team in the NFL this year coming into the season. They're 50-1 to win the Super Bowl. Nothing crazy about those odds. That's realistic. The Vegas odds makers get it. I'm surprised, actually, it's a little high. I thought it'd be in the 40-1 range, to be honest with you. 22-1 to win the AFC. They're plus 220 to win the AFC South. And we should note, the Texans are plus 200. The Colts are right there. There's not a lot to separate the three of these football teams in this division. They were 9-7 last year, which is shocking because Mike Mularkey is generally not a very good coach, and you wouldn't expect that he would be able to win nine games. But he's got a stud quarterback and a ton of talent on this football team. The win total, I saw a win total a couple of weeks ago in the 9.5 range for these guys. And I thought it was high. I was like, whoa. You're telling me the Titans have to win 10 games to win the bet? That's a lot. You know, that's high expectations coming into this year. I can live with the 8.5 a hell of a lot more at minus 150 than I can any 9.5s. So like I said, they were 9-7 last year, but they keep on stockpiling talent specifically on the offensive side of the football. Marcus Mariota is going to be a fantasy stud this year, all right? I would be reluctant to zero in on any of the weapons that they have because they have so many weapons. He's already got a rapport with Rishard Matthews. They bring in Eric Decker. They draft Corey Davis, fifth overall. Kid out of Western Michigan, maybe a potential future Antonio Brown type. I'll tell you what, the Tywan Taylor kid out of Western Kentucky is a freaking stud as well. Oh, yeah, they have Delanie Walker. So there's so many weapons, and we didn't even get to the backfield, right, with Murray and Henry. So there's so many different weapons that they can use. From a fantasy football perspective, I'd be a little bit hesitant to zero in on one of the weapons, but I wouldn't be hesitant to zero in on Marcus Mariota. So I just want to clarify that I am a big Marcus Mariota fan. The kid's a stud. He's only going to get better. And remember when you saw the Predators in a Stanley Cup and you saw the old lineman pounding back the beers and Mariota was there, but he wasn't? You know, Mariota's never had a drop of alcohol in his freaking life. All right, that's the type of kid you want running your franchise, man. This kid's got, he's got his eyes on the prize. So they're loaded. They put up 23.4 points per game last year, and I think they're going to put up even more points this year. The Eric Decker signing is nice, gives Mariota a nice big weapon. I'm going to be betting on a lot of overs this year with the Titans. There's going to be a track meet. These guys are going to put up 30, 35 a game, man, I think. Like, literally, they're going to be putting up in the 30-point range. But they're also going to be giving up a lot of points. Defensively, they're a freaking train wreck, and they really didn't do all that much to improve themselves. I mean, I would have been more impressed with you guys. Your offense was already good. I would have been more impressed with you if you would have brought in three stud DBs instead of signing every wide receiver that's just been let go. You know, it's ridiculous. I mean, I guess your plan is just to outscore other teams, but you got to be able to stop teams. I mean, how are you going to stop Andrew Luck and the Colts? You know, how are you going to be able to stop Deshaun Watson in the future? You got to be able to play on both sides of the football. And to me, the Titans have almost morphed into what the Colts used to be. Hey, let's draft Philip Dorsett. Let's take Dante Moncrief. Hey, we already have a good offense. Our defense sucks. Stop drafting wide receivers. But no, this is what Tennessee's doing right now. I mean, we're talking about a football team that was ranked 30th against the pass last year. They gave up 279 yards a game, guys, in the air. All right, yeah, they bring in a Dory Jackson out of USC. You know, he's good. He's a great athlete. The kid was a wide receiver before. He's not, you know, he's not a lockdown, shutdown cornerback. They let Jason McCourty go for some reason because they keep on signing all these wide receivers. So basically, your secondary is a rookie in Adoree Jackson, LaShawn Sims, and Logan Ryan. You winning 10, 11 games with that? And I don't know. I mean, one thing we will give this defense credit for, they did create pressure on the quarterback. They sacked quarterbacks 40 times last year, but the 12 interceptions just isn't enough. As far as the schedule is concerned, this is very deceptive because people will say that they have the second easiest schedule in the league. Yet it's a pile of crap, all right? And let me tell you something. When you read the ESPNs in the world and all that stuff, and they say, oh, strength of schedule, they are taking last year's winning percentages. All right? Last year's winning percentages don't mean anything coming into this year. What you want to do, you want to look at the regular season win totals that Vegas has set for a true gauge. The Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be a better team this year. The Colts are going to be better this year. If Andrew Luck's there, they're going to be better this year. So I'm not buying, ooh, it's the second easiest schedule. It's actually pretty difficult. They open up versus the Raiders. Yeah, that's not a good time. Then they're at Jacksonville. Then they play the Seattle Seahawks. Then they're at Houston. That doesn't sound very easy to me. what are they going to be there? 2-2? All right. You know, you've got a couple of middle runs here. Miami, Indianapolis, Cleveland. But then you get to the end of the year, and it gets difficult again. I mean, it's, you know, you get at the Cardinals. That's not an easy football game. The Cardinals sucked last year. They won't suck this year. At San Francisco, that's not going to be an easy football game for them. Versus the Rams, okay, easy. The Jags are a key here for the Titans, really. Because how good are the Jags going to be? When it's all said and done, I think the Tennessee Titans are going to be in the wild card mix. I think the Texans are the team to beat still in this division. I think the Titans are going to be right there. And I think they can get over the number. I think they can get to 9. But I also think this team is being a little bit overhyped. But at 8.5, I can see this team winning 9 football games and being a 9-7 football team again. Game time decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. How can I not take the Kansas City Royals after that kick-ass conversation we just had with Royals analyst Rex Hudler? But I'm not just doing it because of that. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the Royals are the best team in the American League in the month of June, and they're the third best team in Major League Baseball over the last 23 games. And in fact, they're playing 6-14 baseball over the last 44 games. Give me the Royals plus 125. Give me the Brew Crew, man. I ain't chasing nothing, man. Chase Anderson's been great. Give me the Brew Crew minus 110. D-backs, minus 135. Wainwright has not been great. Dodgers are great. Minus 125, we'll lay that. And the Braves are at the Padres this evening. We'll lay the 30 cents with San Diego. Bartolo Colon's back on the hill. I love you, Bartolo, but I got to bet against you. May the winners be yours.